Good evening. Will the impeachment trial of President Trump be before the Senate happen? It's in Speaker Pelosi's hands. And a nuclear site from the Cold War that's still hot. With these and other stories, I'm Paul D'Arienzo with some of the day's news for Thursday, December 26th, 2019. Today is Boxing Day, celebrated in England as the day after Christmas when servants would be given boxed presents by their masters. It's also the day 15 years ago when a tsunami or tidal wave caused by a massive 9.1 undersea earthquake near Sumatra smashed into the coastlines of nations from Thailand to Africa and was observed as far away as Scandinavia. The wave flung 3,000-ton freighters a mile inland as if they were toys. The wave topped at 98 feet in some areas and traveled at 500 miles an hour. It's estimated nearly a quarter of a million people were killed, nearly 2 million displaced. In Indonesia, weeping survivors attended memorial ceremonies and flowers were laid at mass graves of the victims. Indonesia, a vast archipelago of more than 17,000 islands that is home to 260 million people, lies along the Ring of Fire, an arc of volcanoes and fault lines in the Pacific Basin. According to police in Thailand, there are still 394 unclaimed bodies at a special cemetery for the victims. A few were confirmed to be migrant workers from Myanmar. While the tourist industry in Thailand took a hit after the deadly tsunami, it bounced back and is bigger than ever in a region often called a paradise on earth. And there's another caravan of migrants gathering along the border separating the United States and Mexico. But this caravan is unlike the ones that drew the rage of President Trump. It's made up of about 1,500 families gathering in Laredo, Texas, preparing to set out south to Mexico for the Christmas holidays. Driving large cars laden with clothes, perfumes, and other Christmas presents, the Mexicans all have U.S. legal status. Their only resemblance to Central American migrants trudging north on foot is a shared fear of criminal gangs. About half of the 12 million Mexicans living in the United States have legal residency. More than 3 million are expected to return home this year. This caravan starts out from a Laredo Walmart, reaching Jalpan, Mexico, after a 14-hour journey. Caravans are a common way to travel in Mexico. "I don't feel safe," said a woman who joined the caravan, adding, "The caravan is safe." And in national news, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said on a Fox News show that there would be total coordination with the White House over the upcoming impeachment trial of Donald Trump.
"Working through this process, hopefully in a fairly short period of time, in total coordination with the White House counsel's office and the people who are representing the president in the well of the Senate. Everything I do during this, I'm coordinating with White House counsel. There will be no difference between the president's position and our position as to how to handle this. There's no chance the president's going to be removed from office. My hope is that there won't be a single Republican who votes for either of these articles of impeachment."
United States Senator Lisa Murkowski, a Republican from Alaska, says she has problems with such a one-sided trial.
"In fairness, when I heard that, I was disturbed. If we are tasked as the full Senate to do impartial justice under the Constitution and the law, that's the oath that we will swear to uphold at the commencement of this proceeding, then to me, it means that we have to take that step back from being hand in glove with the defense." And so I heard what Leader McConnell had said. I happen to think that that has further confused the process.
Pardon me. Murkowski is often disparaged by Trump supporters as a rhino, Republican in name only, a moderate who occasionally puts some daylight between herself and Trump. Trump has said he welcomes a long trial. The only story is his perfect phone call with the president of Ukraine.
"I'll do whatever I want. Look, we did nothing wrong. So I'll do long or short. I've heard Mitch. I've heard Lindsay. I think they are very much on agreement on some concept. I'll do whatever they want to do. It doesn't matter. I wouldn't mind a long process. because I'd like to see the whistleblower who's a fraud.
Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she has no plans to send over the articles of impeachment to the Senate until there's a process in place.
When we bring the bill, which is, just so you know, there's a bill made in order by the Rules Committee that we can call up at any time in order to send it over to the Senate and to have the provisions in there to pay for the impeachment. And then the next step, in whatever you want to call it, the trial. That is where you put the managers. I was not prepared to put the managers and that bill yet because we don't know the arena that we are in. Frankly, I don't care what the Republicans say.
Managers are the prosecutors appointed to prosecute the president by the House of Representatives. Senators act as the jurors, and Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Roberts, presides. Two-thirds are necessary to remove Trump. The GOP holds 53 seats in the 100-member upper chamber. At issue is if four senators who are Republicans change their vote, forcing McConnell to call witnesses and provide documents requested by Democrats. On Monday, Senator Chuck Schumer said the Senate GOP should not withhold those documents, and he says they are necessary for a fair trial of the president.
More than a week ago, I sent a letter to Senator McConnell outlining a proposed structure for a fair and honest impeachment trial in the Senate. Nothing dilatory, nothing prolonged, but what Joe Friday said on Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am. President Trump has said he wants due process. Well, our proposal gives it to him. The tradition of due process is that when you are accused, you get to confront your accuser and make your case. We urge President Trump to do that through documents and witnesses. We have said from the beginning that there are two components that are necessary for a full and fair trial. First, the Senate should hear testimony under oath from four key witnesses, all of whom would have eyewitness direct knowledge of what happened in relation to these charges. They should include Michael Duffy, the Associate Director for National Security at the Office of Management and Budget. And second, and just as importantly, the Senate should issue subpoenas for a limited set of documents that we believe will shed additional light on the administration's decision-making regarding the delay in security assistance funding to Ukraine and its requests for certain investigations to be announced by the government of Ukraine. The need for the Senate to review documentary evidence has received far less attention than the need for witness testimony, despite being an equally important aspect of the trial and getting the facts to come out. We don't know what these documents will say, just as we don't know what the witnesses will say. They may actually be exculpatory of President Trump, or they may be further condemning of President Trump. But they should come out. We should see these documents no matter what they say. Today I sent a letter to all my Senate colleagues, 99 of them, every Democrat, every Republican, detailing the specific documents we're requesting. The documents can be broken down into three evidentiary categories. First, documents related to the effort to induce and pressure Ukraine to announce certain political investigations. Second, documents related to the order to hold and later release military assistance to Ukraine. And third, documents related to the withholding of a White House meeting that was desperately sought by the newly elected president of Ukraine. And it's hard to overstate how important this meeting was to President Zelensky. It's hard to overstate how withholding it was so harmful to him and could have been used as a lever. It's especially astonishing that President Trump has hosted Russian officials below the level of the president in the Oval Office, but withholds such a meeting with the Ukrainian president. Why? Ukraine's our ally. Russia's our adversary. Withholding a meeting from one of our allies while welcoming our adversaries with such open arms sends a stunning message to the world, especially Putin, and raises many, many questions. The emails and documents we are requesting are necessary to get to the bottom of it. Why this happened? Why secondary Russian officials got meetings with President Trump and Zelensky was denied one? Let me be clear. Our request for documents is not a new demand, nor would it create a time-consuming document production effort. I think most of America wants to see all the facts come out, but not in a dilatory way. We have a slogan in America that's at the core of our justice. It's called speedy and fair trial. That is just what we want. We don't want it dilatory, but we want it fair. And fair means documents, witnesses.
And that's Senator Chuck Schumer. There's no sign in a break in the impasse between Pelosi and McConnell. In related news, nearly 200 evangelical leaders are pushing back against an op-ed in a prominent Christian magazine that called for Donald Trump to be removed from office, saying the piece offensively dismissed their support of the president. Following Trump's impeachment last week, Mark Galee, the outgoing editor of Christianity Today, called Trump a grossly immoral character. The criticism was notable as evangelicals are a key constituency of Trump, who dismissed the magazine as far left. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, former Representatives Michelle Bachmann and Bob McEwen were also among those who signed the letter. Christianity Today, which was founded by late evangelist Billy Graham, has been an influential publication among evangelicals. And meanwhile, Donald Trump spent his evening on Christmas Day tweeting furiously about crazy House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the scam impeachment inquiry against him. Lashing out at the California Democrat in his latest string of posts on Twitter, the U.S. president said, "Why should crazy Nancy Pelosi, just because she has a slight majority in the House, be allowed to impeach the president of the United States? Got zero Republican votes. There was no crime. The call with Ukraine was perfect with no pressure." Trump was impeached last week by the Democratic-led House of Representatives on two charges over his pressuring of Ukraine to announce an investigation into former Vice President Joe Biden, one of the top contenders for the Democratic presidential nomination, and Biden's son. And you're listening to the news on WBAI New York. I'm Paul DiRienzo. The bipartisan passage of the $740 billion defense budget last week has made it all but certain that a new nuclear modernization program in the works for years will move forward. The program entails starting up large-scale production of plutonium pits. Those are the triggers that sit inside each nuclear weapon, the dangerous part and the most dangerous to manufacture. More than 70,000 were made during the Cold War, and many thousands are stored at a Texas facility called Pantex. The new pits being proposed are going to be made in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and Savannah River, South Carolina. For years, plutonium pits were made at a facility near Denver called Rocky Flats. The site was knocked down, turned into a superfund, and is now a park, but many residents think it's still too dangerous.
Do you know that at the center of the site is a nuclear superfund site? You know, I was hoping that the more research I do on it, the calmer I would get. But instead, the opposite happens. The more you learn about Rocky Flats, the more difficult it is to believe that this is considered normal. I don't think you have to know nuclear science to understand that something is wrong out there. I'm Michelle Gabriloff Parrish. I'm the mother of three and a wife that lives in Superior, Colorado. And I ended up founding Candelas Glows once I realized how close we live to Rocky Flats and all of the other issues that surround that area.
If this is your first action around Rocky Flats, can I see hands up?
When I started out, I had a few people tell me, be careful, you're going to piss off some really powerful and really rich people in the area.
This is where the contamination used to come from Rocky Flats. Now Stanley Lake is known for being lined with plutonium.
Rocky Flats is the former nuclear weapons manufacturing site where they made the plutonium triggers for the Cold War. Well, the part of the bomb they were making at Rocky Flats is the dangerous part, and that it's basically a nuclear Superfund site at its core. the story of Rocky Flats doesn't go well into the container of an idea of what they think of as this area. You know, this area, people are coming here to be outdoors. I'm not just going to be silent about something that I know is happening within visual distance of my house.
The film's producer, writer, and director is Nancy Wolfe.
The project is Rocky Flats, and it's a documentary about a community facing basically their past of the Cold War and what they're currently facing in terms of health and environmental consequences relating to the production of nuclear weapons. And I actually got interested in the project through investigative journalism of the site of workers who are getting sick. I just became really interested in their story, and then I learned and I dug in more and more and more and realized that there was so much to understand.
What was it that attracted your attention? What was it about needing to understand this that kept your attention?
Honestly, it was really understanding how brainwashed I'd been growing up, essentially, that how little I knew about the nuclear, not just nuclear technology, but the way in which we learn about weapons and who they affect in terms of anything related to weapons policy. It's completely shrouded in secrecy, and we have no idea what our government is doing.
Growing up, you were not able to hear about this kind of thing, about what happened.
Even to Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the way in which it's taught in schools. For instance, I remember that we just knew that there was a bomb that was dropped that ended a war. The way in which we were taught was not a lot of people died and people are going to be sick for a long time. We heard a war is over. In the ways in which this kind of information is given, and then Rocky Flats, I realized I didn't know anything about how we were making weapons, where we were making weapons, and then to learn about the ways in which this waste is moved all around the country. And again, a lot of the way this has happened is we have no idea where this is going, what roads it's on, and a lot of us are at risk.
Where is Rocky Flats located?
Rocky Flats is just outside Boulder in Colorado, very close to Denver, actually.
And what happened there?
During the Cold War from 1952 to 1992, they were building the triggers, so of the nuclear bomb that explodes. So they were building that over there. They built 70,000 triggers during the Cold War.
Each trigger goes in a bomb.
They were sent from there to Pantex, where they would put the bomb together.
And then what happened to Rocky Flats? Why isn't it there? When you go by there, it's a flat, open piece of ground. What is it now, and how did it get that way?
It was shut down and went through cleanup phase. It was shut down, and there is still an operating area called the Central Operable Unit, which is still at the center of the site, but the buffer zone area around the plant that they wanted to make sure people didn't go to because of radioactive materials that were there. So this area called the buffer zone has been turned into a national wildlife park. This area that was previously, people weren't allowed to go there. Now
it's a radioactive park.
Yeah. People were not allowed to go there before, and now they are.
And there's some resistance to that, and your film talks about that resistance.
Yeah, so essentially there are folks that say, well, you know, this area was never tested, so we really want to know what's actually buried down here and how we might be affected by it. Mm-hmm. Folks in the community are worried.
And so what did you do with your cameras? You followed these people?
I've been in touch with a number of the folks on the ground. Michelle, who's in the teaser, I've been with her for a while. Other folks, other organizations, and we've essentially been at the events that are unfolding this year because, weirdly enough, a defunct nuclear weapons site has breaking news constantly, and there's constantly work being done from lawsuits to action.
Just passed the new defense authorization, and many, many tens and hundreds of billions of dollars are being earmarked for redeveloping these nuclear weapons, building plutonium pits yet again, triggers.
Yeah, and that's going to start in South Carolina at the Savannah River site. And they've already been making weapons, of course, not as quite as much, but they have been making weapons at Los Alamos. But now it's going to be a lot more than they've been making. They've been making like a small amount per year, which is still, they're going to bring Rocky Flats to South Carolina, and folks aren't happy about that.
There was an investigation, and they were found to have broken criminal laws, and there was actually a confrontation at the gate between law enforcement agencies, weren't there?
It's a very sort of Hollywood-esque event that took place where one part of the government raided another part of the government. I mean, there is an FBI agent that actually still very active on the subject, but he led this raid on the plant that led to its downfall.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of the FBI agent, by the way?
His name is John Lipsky.
Right, and is he still FBI agent?
He is doing a lot of work in this on the Rocky Flats issue as much mm-hmm. as he can.
Basically, waste was dumped into the environment for a long time.
A man by the name of Wes McKinley. He was the foreman of the grand jury trial that happened right after. And so he has told me a lot of stories about what they found out, and he basically did his best to describe that. And another person in the film, Pat Mellon, is an attorney, and she's been trying to release the grand jury files so that all of those sort of business documents and...
This is in the trial, you know, of these the people who manage this plant as far as their violation of scads of federal laws by dumping plutonium into water.
It's the Justice Department. It's the Department of Energy. It's the Health Department not doing a lot of diligence and thinking outside the box and really understanding that it's not just well enough to assume everything stays the same with old testing.
What's happening with your film? Where does your film go from here?
We're really excited. We have been fundraising this holiday season. We have funded our new assistant editor, which is fantastic, and now we're working to get our composer who's creating an original score for the film. So we're trying to get that funded right now. So we've got about 6 more days left of our Facebook fundraisers. We're doing it on Facebook. We also are still fundraising through our fiscal sponsor, Women Make Movies. So if folks want to reach out, they can go to WMM.com and then just search Rocky Flats and you'll find us, and folks can support there.
Good luck. Anything you'd like to leave us with? What should people think about this?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like take a look in your community. Think about what are the public parks, what are the industrial parks that you live around. There might be something that you will want to know about.
Nancy Wolf is producer, director, and writer of the film Rocky Flats. And that's some of the news for Thursday, December 26, 2019. The news is producer Linda Perry. Our engineer is Reggie Johnson. From the studios of Locally Produced, listener-sponsored and independent WBAI, I'm Paul D'Arienzo. Have a happy Boxing Day.